Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Well, well, well. All right, my friends. This is what we will call Call from the Grave. These are a bunch of retrospective career look backs I've been doing over on my YouTube channel. Trying to grow the channel a little bit, look back at some old bands from the 80s, from the 70s, that kind of thing. So what I'm going to do is maybe on a Monday or Tuesday of every week, repost these. The sound quality will vary a little bit. It won't be quite as succinct as the normal podcast. And if you don't really like heavy metal, I'm not really sure what you're going to do with these ones. But what they are, it's just like a little bonus thing, maybe earlier on in the week. And I might expand them to discuss a few other things about music, about rock, about metal, that kind of thing. But what they are is just a career retrospective. I've been calling them Call from the Grave. So like I said, it'll be a Monday or Tuesday thing. Probably a Monday. There'll be a different band with me going over their career, looking back over their albums and their releases and that kind of thing. So let's do it. This particular one, I'll start them in order of how they appeared on my YouTube channel. If you want to go and take a look at them over and see my ugly face and some vinyl porn and whatever else, go and take a look over on the YouTube channel. But there, might as well post them here. I could start another podcast for that, but look it. Let's just say they're bonus things on a Monday, something like that. Anyway, the first one that I made was for the Swiss band Coroner. And so here it is. This is Call from the Grave, Volume 1, a career retrospective, my guide to Coroner. Okay, let's do it. This is Alan from Primordial. Welcome to my YouTube channel. I'm going to make a few content videos. I'm looking back at careers of various bands, mainly from the 80s. Not so much bands who would be peers of mine or whatever, but bands I would have been into when I was a kid. I've been doing a series of columns for the magazine Zero Tolerance and Somewhere in Death Forever about, career retrospectives of, as I said, various bands called Call from the Grave. And now the traditional place to start would be, I suppose, your Slayers, your Metallicas, your Megadeths, etc. If I was clever and wanted more clicks, I would do them, but I'm not. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start with Coroner from Switzerland. And just do a little discussion on what they meant. Look at their vinyls. Yes, it's an opportunity for me to show you some old vinyls. And of course, who are you going to trust? Somebody who wasn't there or somebody who speaks too fast explaining all these things? Maybe I speak too fast as it is. Coroner. The enigmatic Coroner. I suppose they were exactly that, an enigma. It's hard to get across. It's hard to get across now because thrash, as it is now, is mainly in its modern incarnation. It's about young, skinny dudes with high cheekbones, boot runners, sort of garish shirts, identikit production values, and a sort of goofy sensibility that never takes itself too seriously. And that was not really how it was in 1987 or 1988. Surprisingly enough, whereas we could look at something like black metal and say that black metal got progressively more serious, more brutal, more violent in its imagery and took many of the things that it sang about ever more seriously, thrash in an odd way kind of moved in another direction. And that was that in 1987-88 you could find bands like Voivod or Coroner, for example, that were these sort of dark, moody bands inspired by the political climate of the time. But by the 2000s, most of those bands, with the exception of maybe Vector, were kind of gone. There was dark bands in 1987, Introspective, Complex and Let's Be Straight Deep bands who thought about the world and had the aesthetic to match. I mentioned Voivod, they fit the bill, but I suppose few fit the bill more than Coroner. Their arresting aesthetic, covers with the signature strip down the side, which I'm going to show and look through some of the albums now, and they're sort of brooding as a commentary, I said, on Cold War society and geopolitics. They weren't easily listening by any means, but that, like I said, they weren't alone in the thrash world of 1988. Now they would be on some lone island, as I said, with maybe only Vector and a few others trying to reach them. A precarious journey to swim against the current and not be overturned on the, I don't know, the slipstream of the party thrash cruise ship, something like this. So let's take a look. One look. I suppose the place to start is Death Cult, the demo. This is a vinyl that apparently is limited to 150. Of course, I didn't have the original vinyl back in the time. I have this on CD as well. And you can see by the band's imagery on the back, there was some form of Christian death via Samhain, Danzig, not Danzig, Misfits, sort of goth black horror thematic going on. For some reason, Tom G. Warrior sings on it. I don't think Ron was too confident of his voice. At the time, they were, you know, the famous story is that Coroner were Celtic Frost roadies. I'm not so sure about the word roadies, because I don't know quite in 1986 where they were touring, but certainly I think Tommy was a guitar tech, as I understand. So the thing about this, I mean, I might jump ahead a few years, but this is Death Cult, the rarities, is that it has two songs that appeared on Doomsday News 2, which is a compilation from 1988, which I can't seem to find on vinyl, but I have it somewhere. And so if you can track that down, that's where Coroner starts. It's a dark, gritty demo. It has an almost black thrash kind of feel to it. It's, again, very at odds, but very typical for 1986. Very at odds about our view of a heavy metal now, and it's, or thrash metal now. And it's run through with this sort of element of neoclassicism to the guitar playing, which was to be one of Coroner's signature elements that, you know, place them very much at odds with some of the things at the time. You can hear a sort of influence of Yngwie and Ritchie Blackmore, I suppose. It's classic speed metal vibing. And what's clear is that, you know, even just one cursory listen to that and you can see Coroner were way ahead of the time with their instruments. My introduction to Coroner, I suppose, was the Mass Jackal video. But when you went back a year, you found R.I.P. And this is 1987. And it's one of the, it's Harris John's recording. It's an absolute gem of a record. It literally bursts from the speakers with a sort of caustic, dark energy. The cover itself is quite foreboding of what's about to come. And I've done, or will do, some more of these video casts, but you'll see that very often I proclaim the first strike of one of these bands as their most vicious, and this is almost it. The vocals are very much in the vein of Tom's in Frost, and perhaps a little bit more black metal, but we can see again the neoclassicism of Tommy's guitar playing shining through very strongly. And it's one of the things that I love about 80s heavy metal, is that the tone, it's something that's missing from most modern heavy metal, but the tone is so specific to Tommy T. Barron. Whether you look at Millais' tone or Piggy's tone, Jeff Hanneman's tone, Gary Holt's tone, you could tell they were all using different instruments through different heads and different amps and a different combination of things. Like, you can tell Tom G. Warrior's tone as soon as the feedback hit of Dethroned Emperor hits. And Coroner is no different. This has a very caustic, razor-sharp guitar sound. Songs like Totentanz, R.I.P. It's a minor masterpiece, in my opinion. It's not quite there, but if someone told me this was their favourite Korner album, I wouldn't disagree. Reborn Through Hate is an absolute Stonewall banger. But I suppose the album that introduced most people to them, I would give R.I.P., I don't know, if we're going to give them ratings, 8.5 out of 10. But it's Punishment for Decadence, which is the album that most people got introduced to the band. And this was because MTV was started playing, as I remember, the video from Mass Jackal, or remember, maybe it was VH1 or Sky, Monsters of Rock, I think the 80s video cable channel. And that's where I first saw Coroner. And it's probably the album to start with. Punishment for Decadence comes with three different covers on the cassette, CD and vinyl, which was I never really seen anything like that back in 88, and it's where I started with the band. Again, you know, it's got the moody sort of, when I was a kid, for some reason the artwork or the picture on the back sort of said something like The Doors' Soft Parade to me or something. I don't know why. I don't even know if that's still a relevant observation. But it's kind of the archetypal Coroner album. The artwork is breathtakingly dark. Songs fit the worldview. Mass Jackal, again, was shot in black and white. It's sort of moody, almost art house. And at least as far as metal bands were concerned at the time, it stood out a mile and showcased a band in full appreciation of the darker side of life. They were called the Rush of Thrash. I'm not sure that quite works, but I understand where people were going with it. Maybe Watchtower might have been a better idea, but Watchtower was, again, a pretty small thing, I suppose. The only thing I will say about Punishment for Decadence is, and maybe somebody's done it since, is that it needs a remaster. Compared, R.I.P. somehow seems more sonically dynamic than Punishment for Decadence. Now, probably there are modern reissue versions that I should go and check out that would negate that statement that I just made. But I would give Punishment for Decadence, if we're going to do this, a 9 out of 10. It's where I started with Coroner. And it was very shortly after that that I joined the Death Cult Lodge, the Coroner fan club of the time. Much the amusement of my and horror of my mother, letters from the Death Cult Lodge started to arrive in the post. She thought I'd joined some sort of suicide cult. You know, who could blame her? And you know, there was I was member 190 or 200 and something, and every you would get all these letters with had competitions and quizzes and all this kind of stuff. I've never won anything. I still have, if while we're at it, my Death Cult Lodge T-shirt from the time. I had another one, but it fell to bits. And while we're doing this, the sticker of the time. And this is one of the things that they offered as a prize, which was the Purple Haze Mass Jackal. I never quite understood the cover of Purple Haze that was on Punishment for Decadence on the cassette, just stuck on the end of side A. No real explanation. Never really understood that. It's an odd choice. And this was when we began to track down Coroner, trying to find live footage or live videos of them. And there was the Thrashing the East show with Creator, Tankard and Sabbath. And that was the first time many of us had seen Coroner. And it was a little bit strange to see this three-piece playing these sort of dark, moody songs on this huge stage. It seemed to be not where Coroner belonged. It would have been ideal to see them in a small club of the time. 1988, Punishment for Decadence. Yes, exactly. And I think that No More Colour, again, the artwork, very striking and arresting. The strip along the side, which is matte, not gloss. They just had an aesthetic that was very unusual for thrash and very different to what was happening at the time. No More Colour is when just before I joined, or around the same time I joined the Death Cult Lodge, the fan club. And No More Colour picks up from where Punishment for Decadence left off. Of course, everything's lifted a notch. The dynamism, there's greater dynamism in the songs. The tone has a little tiny bit more brightness on it, which punches it through. The aesthetic, of course, is unrelentingly bleak and dystopian. Like I said, the artwork to match. Tech metal like Watchtower and that kind of thing was breaking at the time. But even that was hard to see. It was hard to see where Coroner fitted in as the 80s progressed. I mean, they were, I suppose, the contemporaries of Voivod at the time, and on Noise Records they were label contemporaries of the Creators and Celtic Frosts of this world. But R.I.P. is maybe, I suppose, the pinnacle of Coroner's career. It would seem looking back, they didn't tour excessively hard. They weren't backing up the bigger thrash bands. I never even saw their name mentioned as on some tour of the peripheries of Europe. They must have done, of course, but there was never a mention of, oh God, Coroner are supporting Creator. Or it was as if they sort of did what they did and never really pushed it that hard, but yet at the same time put way more emphasis on the music. This was, oddly enough, No More Colour was done with Scott Burns, which was a strange choice. Recorded at Morrisound, Tampa, Florida. Which is a really strange decision. I mean, all things considered, quite what they were influenced by to go to Morrisound at the time. Recorded in Skytrack Studio, West Berlin, which is, I think, where a lot of Noise Records bands went back then. But quite why they did that, I don't know. But because it's pre most of the death metal that went to Scott Burns. Maybe I need to speak to one of them and ask them why. Who knows? But I would give No More Colour, it's a solid 9 out of 10 again. I got to do it. But the world was kind of changing for thrash metal around this time. And as we move into 1990, certainly, you know, again, in 1988, the likes of Leprosy, or 89, Slowly We Rot, Severed Survival, My List of Karen by Pestilence had come out in 88. Of course, Core, Scream Bloody Gore in 87. But the tape trading death metal thing was gaining momentum. And by 1990, even though it doesn't seem like it, thrash was kind of listing in the water. And 1991 was to prove, I suppose, D-Day for thrash. Death metal kind of came along and gave it a little sucker punch. And No More Colour would seem to be Coroner's sort of pinnacle, I suppose. Mental Vortex is the next album. Again, the aesthetic, the strip. A great record. Curious cover of the Beatles' I Want You, She's So Heavy. Despite my tastes now becoming very much aligned with black death metal, underground tape trading, Coroner still had a very important place in my listening tastes. And I did, and still do, love Mental Vortex a lot. It's the band is changing, though. They're moving away from the sort of speed metal and the sort of darker roots, and it's becoming a kind of groove kind of band. I'm not sure what bands they were influenced by to move into this more into this sound. I don't know if it was Trepan and Pal or something like this, but they started to move into this more groovy. Not groovy is not the right word. I'm not, you know, because that's a horrible connotation when it comes to 90s metal. But death metal was about to come along and kick a lot of this stuff into the touch. And Mental Vortex is the perfect, let's call it, end to the triumvirate of previous albums. If we consider R.I.P. to kind of stand alone stylistically, Punishment for Decadence, No More Colour, Mental Vortex sit together as a sort of triumvirate. And this is where I feel the wheels came off for Coroner commercially. It's again mixed at Morrisound. Curious decision, because by 91, 92, let's say 92, Morrisound was beginning to become sort of old hat. I suppose death metal bands were discussing, oh, it's typically going to Morrisound and all that kind of stuff. And Coroner must have been one of the last European bands to travel over there and use it before it sort of became, I suppose, obsolete in some ways. Not obsolete, but at least the trend had died down. The world was changing, as I said, and the small niche that Coroner occupied wasn't enough to turn a penny, I suppose. And it seems clear that they never really getting anywhere, you know, on those terms in this period hastened the band's demise. Now, we have to put that into context. Getting somewhere now was quite different to the aspirations of bands to getting somewhere in the 1980s when bands were selling hundreds of thousands of records. And there was money around and there was influence and input from record labels and big tours to be had and careers to be made. Whereas now, the aspirations, despite there being, well, until this last year, a very, you know, strong festival circuit and touring circuit. I think a Coroner show, if it had happened here in 1991, would have had 200 people, very much probably the same 200 people who would come now to see them. And so Mental Vortex sort of is the last gasp, which you can probably, it makes sense really when you consider where they went then, is the fact that I don't own a copy of Grin on vinyl. Grin came out in 1993. Oh, what would I give Mental Vortex? Let's give it an 8.5 out of 10. Grin, by 1993, I think, was the last gasp of the band and this scene. The last straw, I suppose. I don't own it on vinyl. In fact, I've never even seen it on vinyl. I had it on cassette, you know, but who carries all their cassettes around with them for 30 years? Me, I hear you say. Well, not me. They grow, you know, Coroner was kind of left on the shore by the death metal scene. Thrash had sort of died away. And even by, I suppose, Mental Vortex or Speed Thrash beginnings were moving in another direction. So a whole new generation of MTV friendly, let's say Prong, Biohazard, Pantera, White Zombie, Sepultura, Cold Chamber, Roadrunner style metal was coming along to rule over everything. Groove metal. And this was ruling the roost. And I would say Coroner hadn't really a hope of surviving on those terms. So they simultaneously lost their old fans and didn't gain new ones. Only a few years earlier, I joined the fan club, and by Grin, I had no interest when it came out, and little or no interest in the direction they were heading in. Anecdotally, the band, as I understand, think this is their best album and were nonplussed when No More Colour was inducted into the Decibel Hall of Fame and play more songs from this album live than any other. Finally, I got to see them at Hellfest, and unfortunately, most of the crowd was waiting for songs from the first two. Look, that's just the way the speed metal cookie crumbles. Grin is not a bad album per se, but it's an angular, arty, groove metal record, despite still being cerebral and dark, but it just left the band stranded from the shore. And looking back, you'd wonder where commercially they fit in at all. Shortly after that, they split up. One more sort of not really compilation came out called Coroner in 95. This is pretty good. It has various outtakes, instrumentals, the odd cover interpretation, without really, it's got, you know, things like Der Mussolini, sort of electronic moments. It's really well sequenced despite not having much old stuff, so tells it, it's really worth picking up if you can. I got it for like £1 back in the day, which I suppose tells its own story. There was various limited run singles, of which, like I said, you've seen Purple Haze here with Mass Jackal on the other side. And other things that I don't have. A compilation called Autopsy, which I've never even seen, which came out in 2016 on Columbia, of all labels. I don't know what that's about. Still haven't come across it to buy it or to collect it. But the band did reform, and I finally saw them at they play a few festivals. And I got my wish to finally see them, and seeing the same three-piece I'd worn the shirt for 20 years ago as an act of defiance to the scene at the time. Well, you know, Coroner was kind of like the in-house arty fuck you thrash band to like. It was kind of saying, you know, look at the big brain on Brad style band to like. And I loved them. I really did love them. I was a clever young chap trying to go to the likes of the Testament fans and the Acid Rain fans and the Slammers, because Coroner were the intellectual, overbearing answer to all the fluff and the nonsense. And it may have been difficult for them at the time, but you can hear their influence as we go through the years on Death, Atheist, Gorguts, all those kind of bands, and many more of the technical and musical death metal bands. And their legend grew over the years. I saw more Coroner shirts at Hellfest than I somehow imagine the band ever sold in the year 1988. That's how it goes. Maybe the most underrated thrash band of them all? Maybe. I'd certainly hear the argument and probably agree. And most definitely in the current dark climate the world is in right now. Masked Jackal and the back catalogue of Coroner seems to hit harder than ever. Nice, huh? What can I say? Corner seems like a perfect small city state to try and escape to avoid the plague. This is my appraisal of Corner. I'm Alan Averill, and this is Reborn Through Hate. Call from the grave.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.